Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good day again, everybody, and thank you for jumping on the latest edition of Jumping the Gun. Along with Daniel, I'm Derek, and we are approaching week number 11. Can't believe we're already in the 11th week of the NFL season. Time flies when you're having fun. Of course, you're having more fun if your teams are winning more so than losing. But we're going to take a look back at week number 10. And before we jumped on here, I had a brief conversation with Daniel, and he's telling me we didn't do all that well week 10, did we?
No, it was a rough week. I think it's our worst week of the year. Well, we tied, so we both went 6-8 last week.
Oh,
rough,
ouch.
rough week. And I gave us both the loss for the Steelers-Lions game because I feel like nobody should come out of there with a win or anything other than a loss. That was the worst game I've seen. It actually reminded me of... If you probably remember in 2007 when the Dolphins went to Pittsburgh and they had the Mud Bowl and the Steelers won 3-0 and the Dolphins were winless at that time.
Oh yeah! Oh my goodness!
It reminded me. I had about just as much fun watching that game this week as I did watching that Dolphins Steelers game back in 2007.
Oh my goodness! I'm just glad I didn't have to watch that Steelers Lions game and or pay good money to watch that game.
Yeah, I felt like on Red Zone this week. It just kept coming back. I was like, man, this game is still going on. And of course, it went into overtime. So we had to go through the whole 10 minutes of overtime. That game felt like it never ended.
Well, last week is behind us. I just have a good feeling we're both going to do much better this week. And hopefully I do a lot better than you do. So with that said, all right, let's jump up right in. Here we go.
All right, this Thursday night, we have the Patriots at the Falcons. The Patriots are getting 7 points in Atlanta.
Wow, Patriots 7 points in Atlanta. Well, considering what the Patriots just did to the Browns, I mean, they just embarrassed the Browns. And the Patriots have now won 4 in a row. You know, just think, a month ago, they were 2-4, and they were basically dead to rights. And all of a sudden now, they've won 4 in a row, and they're just a half game behind Buffalo in the AFC East. The Falcons, man, the Falcons, they lived a nightmare in Dallas. They got manhandled in Dallas. 44-3. I mean, it was embarrassing. But then again, Dallas needed a bounce back game. But the way Bill Belichick has his team playing right now, Mac Jones is playing great ball right now. They ran for 184 yards in the Browns defense. They were 5-6 in the red zone. Yeah, I'm going to take the Patriots with the points on the road this week.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Patriots with the points. I don't know what I was thinking last week, taking the Falcons against Dallas. I fell in love with the fact that I didn't realize they were 4-4 at the time, but I'm realizing that they are not a good 4-4 team. I'm going with the Patriots this week with the points. I just don't think Bill Belichick teams fall victim to trap games, so I think the Patriots take care of business this week.
Okay.
Next, we have the Colts at the Bills. The Bills are getting 7 points at home in Buffalo.
These are two teams, to me, that need this win desperately. The Colts are trying to keep up with the Titans in the AFC South, And the Bills, of course, are trying to hold on to the slimmest of leads in the AFC East. Buffalo won big over a Jets team that just is just not quite there yet. They had 139 yards rushing against the Jets. You know, the Colts also like to run the football. They struggled, but somehow found a way to hold off the Jaguars 23-17. Two teams that have explosive offenses, two teams that can run the football. I'm going to take the Bills with the points at home here.
I agree. I'm also taking the Bills with the points. The Bills looked like they were finally getting back to their old selves this past week, taking care of business against the Jets, albeit it is the Jets, but the Bills were struggling against some of the teams. I mean, the week before, they lost to the Jaguars, and the week before that, they looked very vulnerable against the Dolphins. But the Bills finally look like they're getting back to form. Having Dawson Knox come back helps them a lot, too. I'm going with the Bills also with the points. Next, we have the Ravens at the Bears. The Ravens are getting 4.5 points in Chicago.
Ravens have had a lot of time since that Thursday night embarrassment against the Dolphins. And I think the Dolphins kind of wrote a blueprint in terms of how to defend against Lamar Jackson and that explosive offense. You attack Lamar Jackson. That was the most frustrated I've seen Lamar Jackson in a long time. The Dolphins pinned back their ears and kept blitzing and kept blitzing. They didn't care. They left their cornerbacks on an island, and they had the speed to contain Baltimore's outside rushing as well. Kudos to Brian Flores for coming up with the great game plan. I thought when Baltimore got close, they were going to go into like a prevent defense. Dolphins kept attacking. They kept getting the shots on Lamar Jackson. They sacked him 4 times. They held that Ravens rushing attack to 90 yards. That's saying something. And, you know, you wonder where the Ravens are right now because they've lost 2 of their last 3. The Bears have lost 4 in a row. Matt Nagy's on a hot seat. I don't see the Bears in any way, shape, or form. The only advantage the Bears have going into this game is they're going to be playing at home at Soldier Field, and it's a much colder. Well, Baltimore plays in a cold environment, too. But that's the only advantage they have. I don't think Justin Fields is ready for what Baltimore is going to come at him with. This Ravens team is ticked up. I'll take the Ravens with the points on the road.
I agree. I think the Ravens are going to fix some of the problems that they had against the Dolphins. And I do think that game was a little bit of a fluke. I mean, we give credit to the Dolphins, but we haven't seen anybody be able to handle Lamar Jackson like that, even when they did bring pressure. But I think that was kind of an outlier. I'm going with the Ravens this week against the Bears for similar reasons that you gave. I don't think Justin Fields is ready yet. I'm not loving the Bears' only advantage here is that they have home field advantage, but I'm taking the Ravens here. Next, we have the Lions at the Browns. The Browns are getting 11.5 points in Cleveland.
Well, the Lions are getting closer and closer to winning a game. They tied the Steelers. I'll give the Lions credit for one thing. They very easily could have folded it in and called a season, but they're still trying and they're still battling, and they're eventually going to win a game. You don't want to be that opponent that allows Detroit to beat you, but they're going to upend somebody before it's all said and done. You know, the reason they were able to tie the Steelers, one of the big reasons was, which is what the Eagles did and a few other teams have done when they're playing better opponents, is they ran the football. The Lions had 229 yards rushing against the Steelers' defense. They couldn't run the ball against the Eagles' defense, but they ran for 229 yards against this Steelers' defense. And I do believe that they're going to be in this game. The Browns are like Jekyll and Hyde. I can't figure the Browns out one iota. They've lost 2 of their last 3. A few weeks ago, they crushed the Bengals. Then they turn around and get crushed by New England. I can't figure this Cleveland team out. But because it's the Detroit Lions in this particular game, I'll take the Browns at home with the points.
All right. Well, let's have some fun.
Here we go.
The Browns coming off of giving up, what was it, 180 yards on the ground to the Patriots?
Yes. Yep.
The Lions doing what you just said, over 200 yards rushing against the Steelers. I'm going with the Lions. The Lions win it this week. They finally get off of the winless streak that they've had going. The Lions get it done this week. I don't like what I'm seeing from Baker Mayfield. He's on the injury report all the time. I just saw that he is going to play this week through a foot injury. But, man, he has everything going on, the shoulder, the foot, their offense. They all can't get help. Their running back situation is always a revolving door. I'm going with the Lions. I think this is the week they finally get it done. I can't believe
I'm saying your bravery. I like your bravery. I like that.
I just think the Lions need to stick to running the ball, because when you put the ball in Jared Goff's hands, it can get ugly very fast, right. Especially with a guy like Myles Garrett rushing off the edge. So hopefully the Lions keep it on the ground and get the W in Cleveland.
Ooh, will this be the game that gives Daniel the advantage on D-Gun? We're going to find out.
Well, yeah, next week I'll probably be thinking I was crazy for making that pick. anyway, next we have the Texans at the Titans. The Titans are getting 10 points in Tennessee.
Let's see. The Texans are coming off a bye. But what the heck? They've lost 8 in a row. They're going nowhere fast. I look at the Titans. They had to fight to hold off the Saints. They've won 6 in a row. And when I look at this, the six games that they've won, they have beaten Buffalo, Kansas City, Indianapolis, the Rams, and the Saints. Not a bad row to hold to win 6 games in a row. This one's like David versus Goliath. I think the Texans will make a game of it for about a quarter or so, and then the Titans will put this one away in the strength of their aggressiveness and their bully ball on both sides of the ball. Even without Derrick Henry, I think Titans win this one by double digits.
Yep, I fully agree. Titans win this one by double digits. The Texans are one of the worst teams in the NFL. Honestly, I think the Texans might be worse than the Lions. Effort-wise, I feel like the Lions are close every week, and the Texans they've been getting blown out a lot this year. So I'm gonna go with the Titans here, and I'm taking them with the 10 points. Next, we have your Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. The Packers are getting 2 points on the road in Minnesota.
Well, Aaron Rodgers wasn't his best coming off the COVID protocol, but he still threw for almost 300 yards, no touchdown passes, 1 interception. That's very un-Aaron Rodgers-like, but Green Bay's defense is flat-out balling. They shut out Seattle, and this is a huge divisional game for them. No Aaron Jones in the Packers' backfield this week. Green Bay's 2-0 in the division. The Vikings are 1-0 in the division. Right now, the Vikings are 3.5 games behind the Packers. They have to play some desperate ball. Vikings somehow found a way to beat the Chargers, and they had 5 players on a COVID list, and they held the ball for 36 minutes. That's what you have to do against that Chargers offense. You have to out-possession them. And that's exactly what the Vikings were able to do. They were 3-for-4 in the red zone in that game. But I think Aaron Rodgers and his defense, even though Green Bay's hurting on defense with some key players, whoever steps in has been picking up the slack for Green Bay. I'm going to take the Packers on the road in this game.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Packers. And man, if you told me last week that we were going to get Russell Wilson against Aaron Rodgers and not one touchdown was going to be thrown the whole game, I would have thought you were crazy. I mean, the Packers shut down the Seahawks offense, which their passing game isn't the problem. And without Jaire Alexander, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, that Packers defense is serious. I'm going to take them against the Vikings this week. I don't know what happened with the Chargers. That run defense for the Chargers has been struggling this year. Yeah. And I think that's how the Vikings were able to kind of keep control of the game for the most part. So I don't think that's going to happen against the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers bounces back this week and starts to look a little bit more like he did early in the season, taking the Packers on the road here. Next, we have the Dolphins at the Jets. The Dolphins are getting 3 points on the road in New York.
Let's see. Dolphins 3-7, Jets 2-7. I'll tell you what, I can't say it enough. What Brian Flores did against the Ravens was phenomenal. A phenomenal game plan defensively. They held the Ravens to 10 points in their own back. I mean, they just played smash mouth football against the Ravens. They held the Ravens to a total of 304 yards of offense. The Ravens are an offense that accidentally compiles 400 yards of offense every other week. Not this time. I think Brian Flores has finally found that team's mojo. The Jets are being quarterbacked by Joe Flacco this week. I don't think Joe Flacco, if Lamar Jackson couldn't outrun the Dolphins defense, do you think Joe Flacco is going to be able to outrun that hard charging defense? I like the Dolphins on the road with the points here.
This is a game I will not be watching very much of this
no,
week.
No.
But I agree, man, Joe Flacco is getting the start this week. That Mike White honeymoon phase came and went. He went through the rite of passage last week. I feel like every Jets quarterback needs to have a game where they throw 4 interceptions. So the Jets they've given. I feel like this team is just, it's a wrap for them this season. The Dolphins, they're not looking too good either, but they're riding momentum at least. I'm going with the Dolphins on the road in a game that I will not be watching. Next, we have the Washington football team at the Panthers. The Panthers are getting 3.5 points in Carolina.
Washington's defense finally showed up this season against the Buccaneers. Anytime you can hold a Tampa Bay offense to 19 points, you're doing your job. And they picked off Tom Brady twice as well. Unfortunately for Washington, they lost their star defensive end, Chase Young, for the season with a torn ACL. The Panthers, Cam Newton walks in off the street. He runs for a touchdown. He throws a touchdown and tells everybody who's listening he's back. Panthers defense played like it's been playing for much of this season. Two defenses that have the capability of really clamping down. The difference is the Panthers have the home field advantage and Cam Newton. Washington does not. Taylor Heineke has played well, but not against Cam Newton, not this week. I'm taking the Panthers at home and the points.
I'm also taking the Panthers at home. I love every bit of the Panthers bringing back Cam Newton. Them featuring him on the goal line last week was awesome. Everybody knew that he was going to run that first one in. And it felt like the Cardinals actually had it stopped, and somehow Cam just finds a way to escape. Burrows in over Isaiah Simmons for the touchdown. Then he throws a touchdown. His first two plays were two touchdowns. You can't really have a better comeback than that. And this week he's been taking first team reps, so I think we're going to see a lot more Cam Newton this week. Washington last week ending that game against the Bucks with a 10-minute, 19-play drive and sealed it off going forward on fourth and goal with Antonio Gibson running off the edge. That was one of the best drives I've seen from any team this year. That being said, I'm taking the Panthers this week. I think Washington played up to their competition last week a little bit, especially with the fact that the Bucks were the ones that knocked them out last year in the playoffs, and Taylor Heineke was the quarterback of that team. So Heineke kind of showed up and showed out again against Tom Brady and got his quote-unquote revenge game. But I'm going with the Panthers here. I think Panthers figure it out. Having Christian McCaffrey back is a big boost for them. Stephon Gilmore has been playing great for them. He's been back to getting turnovers. He looks like the defensive player of the year again. I'm going with the Panthers here with the points. Next, we have the Niners at the Jags. The Niners are getting 6 points on the road in Jacksonville.
I tell you what, the 49ers, they looked like the 49ers I expected them to be all season long against the Rams in a key NFC West divisional game. And man, they took it to the Rams all night long. They held the Rams to 52 yards rushing. They ran for 156 yards. And Deebo Samuel, when his game is on, he's on another planet. You know, he doesn't get mentioned as some of the upper echelon receivers in the game, but he is one of the better wide receivers in the National Football League. Jacksonville played a good game against the Colts, gave the Colts something to think about, especially after beating Buffalo 9-6. This Jaguars team record at 2-7 is truly not indicative of what this team is right now. Yes, they're a losing team, but they're a competitive team as well. This is going to be smash-mouth football right here, and I think the 49ers will deliver the knockout punch on the road.
I agree. I think the Niners are going to win this game. And like you said, I love everything I'm seeing from Deebo Samuel, and I love how they use him. The Niners use Deebo Samuel a lot in the way that the Seahawks used to use Percy Harvin. When yep. They would just line him up all over the field, you always had to keep an eye on him. But out of nowhere, he'll just bust a huge run. And he's somebody you always have to be accountable for. And he's having an amazing year this year. He killed my fantasy team this year, this week. So Deebo Samuel is having an amazing year. I'm taking the Niners in this game. The Jaguars, they're the Jaguars. I think the Niners are getting some momentum here. They're starting to look like the team that we thought they were going to be early in the season. Yeah, give me the Niners here with the points. Next, we have the Bengals at the Raiders. The Bengals are getting 1 point on the road in Vegas.
You have two teams right here that are at the crossroads of the season. They're both 5-4. The Bengals are in third place in the AFC North, and the Raiders are tied for second place in the AFC West. Both teams need these games desperately. Bengals coming off a bye. Raiders got smashed by the Chiefs. And Derek Carr, you know, Derek Carr, you never know which Derek Carr is going to show up. Man, this game could go either way, because when I've seen the Bengals offense on this mark, man, they can light it up as well as anybody in the National Football League, but so can the Raiders. I think because the Raiders got embarrassed and they're at home in this game, I'm going to roll the dice with Vegas this week.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the Bengals. But like you said, both of these teams need this game desperately. They're both fighting for that division lead. But I think the Bengals, coming off of that bye week, after getting embarrassed by the Jets, I think the Bengals wake up and their offense shows out in this one. I think, I hate to say it, but I think this is the beginning of the end for the Raiders' run this year. I don't think they're going to end up making the playoffs, but I do think the Bengals will end up in the playoffs. So I'm going with the Bengals here. Next, we have what I think is the game of the week. We have the Cowboys at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are getting 2.5 points at home in Kansas City.
Wow, what a way for Dallas to bounce back after getting manhandled by Denver in their own backyard the previous week. 43-3 over the Atlanta Falcons. Are you kidding me? The Cowboys offense was on fire. The defense was flying around like they had been much of the season. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City offense looked like the offense we expected it to. Patrick Mahomes, 35 of 50, 406 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's what we expect from Patrick Mahomes. It hasn't happened much this season, considering he'd been more down than up. You talk about a shootout. Man, now this is a game I would even brave the cold weather in Kansas City to have a front row seat to watch this shootout in person. Most of the time, I'd rather watch it from the confines of a warm environment. I would pay good money to see this particular game. The Cowboys, if they play the way they played against Atlanta, the difference is the Cowboys have a defense, the Chiefs don't. I'm going to take the Cowboys on the road in this game.
Really? Okay, so I'm going to take the Chiefs here. And if you remember what I said last week, I said the Chiefs were going to turn it around against the Raiders on Sunday night. And I said,
yes, you did.
I said that this is going to be the game that spurs a run for them going into the playoffs. And I think the Chiefs are going to ride that momentum. Patrick Mahomes finally started to take what the defense was giving him last week. And I thought that was a big thing. He wasn't trying to force it downfield, getting picked off as he has in weeks past. If the defense was leaving things open underneath, he was taking it. Anything the Raiders were giving him, he took advantage of, and they were running the screen game as well as they have all year. I'm going with the Chiefs this week. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be a really entertaining game. But that Chiefs defense needs to turn the football over the way they were against Vegas too. Tyrann Mathieu with some huge plays at the end of that game. I'm going with the Chiefs here at home. Next we have the Cardinals at the Seahawks. The Cardinals are getting 2.5 points in Seattle.
Cardinals are getting 2.5 points in Seattle. We don't know who's quarterbacking that team. Is it Colt McCoy? Is it Kyler Murray? It's still very questionable. I'm surprised the Cardinals are actually getting the points here in this game. Russell Wilson, you know, he missed 3 games, came back sooner than people thought from that finger surgery. It's the first time in his career he was ever shut out. Green Bay shut him out 17-0. He had never been shut out before. That does not sit well with Russell Wilson. They have too many weapons on offense. You know, again, because I don't know what Kyler Murray's status is, you know, and when you think about it, Seattle doesn't give up a lot of points. They give up like 20, 21 points a game. And they held Green Bay to 17. I'm going to take Seattle. This is my hunch game of the week. I'm going to take Seattle at home in this game.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the Cardinals. I'm guessing that Kyler Murray is going to be back. If he's not, then I'll just take the loss for this week. But I think the Cardinals get back on track this week. I don't like the Seahawks team. I don't love their defense. Russell Wilson, I think last week was an outlier for him. I don't think he'll play that poorly again. But that Cardinals defense is not bad. So I'm also gonna take the Cardinals on the road in Seattle for the win. Next on Sunday night, we have the Steelers at the Chargers. The Chargers are getting 5.5 points in Los Angeles.
Here's another team, the Chargers. You know, they're in the thick of that race in the AFC West. Steelers trying to stay right hot on Baltimore's trail. That half game, that half game, that tie could either hurt him or help him down the stretch. We're going to find out. Mason Rudolph or Ben Roethlisberger, that's yet to be determined. The Steelers cannot turn the football over. They had three turnovers against the Lions. They couldn't stop Detroit's run game. The Chargers, I still don't know who this team is. Just when you think they're about to turn a corner and be a legitimate contender, now they've lost three of their last four. But because the Chargers have this one in their backyard, instead of playing in the cold confines of Heinz Field, I'm going to take the Chargers at home in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking the Chargers in this one, no matter who's quarterbacking for the Steelers. I think the Chargers right the ship here. They do need to defend the run a lot better than they have in the last few weeks. Najee Harris has been having an amazing rookie season, but I think they will. And I think their offense shows up a little bit this week too. On Monday night now, we have the Giants at the Bucks. The Bucks are getting 11 points in Tampa this week.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. You don't think Bruce Arians and Tom Brady are ticked off by what happened against Washington? The Giants, before they went on their bye week, they shocked the world and upset the Raiders at home. So the Giants are coming off a feel-good moment. But Giants now have to go down to Tampa Bay on national TV. Buccaneers, they've lost two straight. Tom Brady threw two picks against Washington. That's not going to happen on Monday night, I don't think. Brady is ticked off now. They have too many weapons for the Giants to stop. I'm going to take the Bucs in the 11, the double-digit points in their favor in this game.
I agree. I'm also taking the Bucs with the points. The Giants have shown me nothing this year. We will see how Saquon Barkley looks. We're not really sure. But, hey, you come back and you play against one of the best run defense in the NFL, so it's going to be a tough night for Saquon either way. I'm going with the Bucks with the points. I don't think Brady loses three straight games. And lastly, we have the Saints at my Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are getting 1.5 points at home in Philly.
The best way to describe what the Eagles offense did in Denver was impressive. 40 rushing attempts, 214 yards. Over the last three games, Nick Sirianni has finally got it. Over the last three games, the Eagles have averaged rushing 42 rushing attempts for 209 yards and six rushing touchdowns. So Sirianni is finally getting it. And I think he also realizes the more you take the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hand in the passing game, the more dangerous it makes Jalen Hurts in both the passing and the running game as well. And I think they may have found their niche defensively. I'm not letting Jonathan Gannon off the hook yet. They played a great game. He finally had his cornerbacks come up and play some press coverage. And what a difference it made in terms of Teddy Bridgewater not being able to get the rhythm and finding his receivers. He had a great array of receivers. Couldn't find his receivers. Saints were a two-point conversion away from tying Tennessee and sending that game into overtime. The Saints have lost their last two games by a grand total of 4 points. Alvin Kamara has been practicing. He started practicing today. We're going to find out if he's able to play. If Aaron Kamara plays in this game, that's a huge boost for this Saints team that's struggling right now. This is a tough one. You know, matter of fact, Jalen Hurts, his first career start was against the Saints last year, and he won that game against the Saints team that went to the playoffs. Man. Am I about to say this? Because Sean Payton is one of the best coaches in the game. You know he's got something up his sleeve. His defense is number one in the league against the run. You know he's got something up his sleeve. I normally wouldn't do this because Drew Brees is not walking through that door. Jameis Winston is not walking through that door. It's the Trevor Siemian show. I'm putting my faith in the Eagles winning this game on Sunday. I can't believe I'm saying it. Cannot believe I'm saying it.
I'm also taking the Eagles. It's a lot less exciting when you pick the Eagles, too. I love everything that I'm seeing from the offense this past couple of weeks. They're finally running the ball. Looks like they're getting Miles Sanders back this week, potentially. But I would love to still see Jordan Howard get the carries he's been getting. He's looked like the Jordan Howard we used to see in Chicago. And like you said, seeing those corners come up and play press coverage, man, it was so nice seeing Darius Slay in press coverage. It feels like we get him in the trade 2 years ago, and the best thing he does is play up and get physical. And we had him playing in a soft zone for the last 2 years. Darius Slay is a quarterback that needs to hit receivers and get in their heads. And we finally saw that. And then, of course, he's back to being big play Slay, as everybody's saying, with the huge 82-yard fumble recovery touchdown. I'm going with the Eagles. I don't trust Trevor Siemian. I think the Eagles have some momentum going here and can pull off a few straight.
Although if you look at Trevor Siemian's last two games, he's been very efficient with the ball, hasn't turned the ball over. But still, it's Trevor Siemian. They're coming in here. The Eagles still have not won a home game. They haven't won a home game since last season against the Saints. Does history repeat itself? I'm leaning in favor of the Eagles. Let's see what happens. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of Jumping the Gun. Week number 11 in the National Football League. Can't wait to talk about it next week to see how we did. So until next time, for Dan, I'm Derek. So long, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.